the Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the 4 o'clock Happier Happy Hour. It's rolling on, and your participation always encouraged. 844-967-2789. Saw an article published at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Polling done of Wisconsin women, specifically women from the state of Wisconsin. And here is a eye-popping headline, and I'll share some of this article with you, our fine audience. Half of the working women in Wisconsin are thinking about quitting. Half of all working women in Wisconsin are thinking about quitting. A little of the reporting, Sarah Hauer at the Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin women are considering leaving their jobs. The COVID-19 pandemic, which has disrupted life for almost 2 years, has altered how people think about work and caused an economic downturn that disproportionately affected women. Now, half of working women in Wisconsin are thinking about quitting their jobs. In this survey from the Milwaukee-based public relations firm Kane Communications Group and Santiago Global Consulting, 50% of Wisconsin working women said they'd consider quitting work constantly, often or sometimes. Well, we all consider quitting work sometimes. This points to a crisis that companies need to think about. Half of the female employees in Wisconsin are considering quitting, according to Kimberly Kane. This is not a problem to throw money at. This is a values issue. And I'm going to read a little bit more, but I want to hear from the audience. 844-967-2789, especially if you're a woman in the state of Wisconsin, considering quitting your job. And apparently, Fancy Brian, this is not just about money. Let me read on. In a national survey, 40% of women said they have considered leaving their company or switching jobs. The Women in the Workplace study by McKinsey & Company that said that recent high turnover rates suggest that those employees are following through. Now, Kane partnered with Santiago Global Consulting to conduct this survey. A sample of 980 working women in Wisconsin from the state's registered voter database were surveyed by phone and text message earlier this year. The sample of women was representative of the state's racial and political identities. It included women who live in rural, urban, and suburban areas, 3.1% margin of error, according to the researchers. They didn't include other gender identities, so it's unknown how women differ from other groups. The women in the survey said that feeling undervalued in their current role was the primary reason for considering quitting. Feeling undervalued. Here's a quote from Catherine Wilson, a senior consultant and co-founder of Santiago Global. I would have thought it might have been wanting to leave due to personal or family reasons. African-American women in the survey were more likely to have left the workforce. Right now, again, a quote from Kane. Right now, the operative word is considering. 50% are considering quitting. That means that employers have a chance to step it up. The report from Kane and Santiago Global has ideas for actions companies can take to retain female employees. Ideas include reverse mentoring, employee services like dry cleaning, and social listening. If we're not focused on the pipeline and engaging and retaining women in the workplace today, then the number of women will be depleted. Kane will host a free webinar December 17th. There appears to be a sense that women in the survey did not feel that their employer cared about them. About 25% of the women in the survey say they did not think their employer cared about their mental health. It starts to be a big number. Women who are mothers in particular indicated that they are having difficulty balancing work and home life. The vast majority of women in the survey, 81%, said their jobs do not offer childcare support. 81% do not have employer-sponsored childcare. Nearly 70% of women in the survey say they have recently experienced some very or extreme levels of stress. The rate was higher for women who work in manufacturing, transportation, energy, and agriculture, and I got to assume radio. Employers should make retaining women in the workforce a top priority in the coming year, Kane said. Well, shouldn't employee retention always be sort of a big, important issue.
Yeah, but this speaks to something a little bit more deeper than just, you know, employee retention, trying to get, you know, the break room a little bit better. I mean, let's not forget, it was the 1970s. Women really had a hard time getting their own bank account, getting their own credit cards, having any sort of real independence whatsoever. And the mindset there, those people are still alive and in control of a lot of, you know, the levers of power. And it's not necessarily a thing that's conscious either. It's something that you grew up in as well. But that's something that you actually have to consciously fight against. And it comes out naturally just because that's in people's being. So that's something they need to look forward to. It's deeper than just doing something better at the workplace. It's something like already knowing that they need child care. Already knowing that they need to be valued a little bit more and how to value them, not just saying, hey, I think you're a good female employee and you can wear some Hawaiian shirts on Friday.
Well, the researcher Kane says men have to stop leading and building workplaces that work for them. They have to recognize that women play a significant role in the success of a business and the overall economy. They want to ask how to build workplaces that are successful for everyone. Now, Wisconsin Working Women, women are under research group, Wilson says. She wants her research to have established a baseline for future studies. And while Wilson thought that women's responses would vary based on political affiliation or geography, there were few differences. Women in the Fox Valley area did report higher satisfaction at work and flexible work. Employers must be doing something right in that region. That was pretty much the only insight where the region stood out. So good job, Fox Valley employers. Kane's company, while rooted in communications, has had a mission to help businesses take responsibility for their place in the world. Conducting this research with Santiago Global is an extension of that, Kane said. And she expects Kane Communications will continue to take on research projects like this one. The firms also get more involved in helping clients develop corporate citizenship strategies. Women in the workplace, they're all going to quit, or at least they're strongly considering. About half of Wisconsin women, that seems like an astronomically high number. And when you talk about, you know, no doubt, I guarantee, Fancy Brian, somewhere in the last week you've thought, man, I hate this job. I like to quit, but oh yeah, I got to eat.
I mean, that's just something that people do in general. It has nothing to do with like this specific job, but yeah, I mean, people say things like that all the time. Oh, wouldn't it be amazing if I did this or I thought about this, but then you have to think about the reality of that whole thing.
But don't you think that people, I mean, I'm going through this in my family. My wife has been self-employed. She's a real estate appraiser. I think she's very talented. She's very good at her job. 22 years in, she's feeling damn burned out. And the fact, and I've got a special needs kid, and that has meant a hell of a lot more work for her. And currently, my wife tells me, you know, she often feels distracted or she gets pulled in so many different directions. And I can't think of a single woman that probably doesn't experience that, especially family, you know, mothers when they got kids and they got work responsibilities and something's got to give. Well, I know currently my wife wishes it was her workload. She's working very hard to see if she can get our eldest son into an adapted college program. And that's a big deal. And she tells me, you know, Mike, I am not getting things accomplished in the same way I used to. And I'm thinking you're so wrong. I've watched my wife working on this kid's education for 16 continuous years. The fact that I have a son who is on the autism spectrum, that's going to graduate from high school, potentially go into college next year, has a girlfriend, has a steady job, is doing well, is a moral young man and a good human being. Well, that's a major accomplishment. But my wife had to put that effort in. I mean, anyone that knows me knows I'm something of a workaholic. I've always had lots of responsibilities at the office. Hey, hon, I got to go to the office. She's heard that a few million times in the last 19 years. So I know from my family's perspective and the fact that, you know, we got this kid on the cusp of perhaps what comes next for him, still got one living at home, still needs rides 3-5 times a day, going to work, going to school, going to the gym, whatever. You know, we're still the Uber. We're still the family taxi. But it's different for my wife. I mean, I am so clear and I cook occasionally and I do my best to help out in the kitchen. You know, I do some of the yard work, but it's not the same. It's not the same as the work level that my wife puts in. She is so clearly doing more and meeting the expectations of children and work. Well, if I don't meet my kids' expectations, you know, too bad. Wish she had a better dad. But she didn't take that attitude. You know, she takes it personally. If she lets the kids down or can't, you know, give them the ride at a particular moment when they feel like they need the ride, she feels bad. A couple of Saturdays ago, I was laying down. My kid wanted a ride to the gym. We lived like 4 or 5 blocks from the gym. I said, what the hell are you waking me up for? You know, walk to the gym. You're going to exercise. Go walk to the gym. That's a dad answer. My wife will be out walking the dog. She'll walk farther home to give my kid a ride to a gym that's closer to our house in relationship to where she was out walking the dog at. But that's a different in attitude. You know, I know she loves her kids, no doubt. But she's also responsive to the kids. And she also jumps when they say jump. Dad, less so.
I had a relatively almost opposite experience. I was the stay-at-home dad while Amy went to work right after her maternity.
You've been an actor. You've had non-traditional professional jobs.
Yes.
Often.
So that also afforded me – I also got to a really big gig right before she was born. So it kind of really helped me out with, you know, paying rent for a couple months. That's pretty nice. But I was a stay-at-home dad, and I have no problem doing that. I'm absolutely happy to do so. And there was, in fact, I was, I'm in a world in acting where that type of thing is championed and stuff like that. You know, bring your kid to the audition and stuff. And then you got like 15 acting friends who are happy to go and help me out with watching her while I'm going into the audition and coming out, and everybody knows her and everything. In fact, she got a couple gigs out of this. My point is that Amy did the non-quote-unquote traditional way of doing things, and I stayed at home and she didn't. And there was definitely, it's so weird how she felt like she wasn't doing anything. She felt like she wasn't doing enough, or that she was missing out, and she wasn't. And I'm like, if the roles were reversed, everybody would not even bat a lash or not even think about it differently whatsoever. But with her going to work, she felt guilty for not being home, because traditionally she's supposed to stay home, right? And she's supposed to be the caretaker, and our roles were reversed. And it was weird because both of us have no problem with it. We have no problem with each other. There was no issue between sharing the load between us. It was the cultural pressure, I would say, for lack of a better term. It's not like people at her work were saying, you know, you shouldn't be here. That it's just the culture that we've been brought up in, and we have these certain roles for people that are stuck in there, and that's how we're supposed to do things.
You know, I can't ever recall, and, you know, not my in-laws, I cannot ever recall a single time where anyone's ever said to me, you know, Mike, you work so much, you should be home with your kids. No one ever said that to me.
In fact, we actually laugh at people. Oh, you got to go and take be home with the family, Duffy? Whatever, you're not going to do anything.
Well, in the case of Sean Duffy, we all know that was just a made-up thing, because he quit his job in Congress. Sean Duffy, a congressman from the state of Wisconsin, his wife was pregnant. I think they're 9th. They are breeders, let me tell you. Rachel Campos Duffy, she'll be at the tree lighting at the 5, the Foxy All-American tree lighting. She's on the guest list, one of the dignitaries.
Who's watching the kids?
Sean? Of course, the former president trying to encourage Sean Duffy to run for governor in the state of Wisconsin, which just shows you, because Rebecca Clayfish, the Republican wannabe, the former LT under Scott Wanker, came out, I love you, Donald Trump. I mean, her whole candidacy is, I love you, Donald Trump. And Donald Trump said, run, Sean, run. You know, loyalty, it's a one-way street. So anyways, Duffy may be encouraged to run for governor, although I think he lives in New Jersey. It's going to be a difficult commute to the office. But ultimately, he quit his job to spend more time with family, which meant taking a job on cable news.
Different, you know, family.
His broadcast family. You're my family. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
I hate this job. I hate this damn job, and I don't need it.